Hello, everybody, and welcome to Horror Film Lovers Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Adkins, with my co-host, Jonathan Moody, and we have a special guest on today, Mr. Kara Coleman, and we will be reviewing the movie Devil's Candy today. So hello, everybody.
Hey. Yeah, I'm really excited. I had never seen this movie before in my life. I thought I did because there was another Ethan Embry movie that I watched, and it was nothing like, I mean, it was not the same movie at all. It was
So this is
completely.
the first time for you. This is the second time for me, but I haven't seen it since it first came out.
I was thinking about the same for me. I remember
Same.
when it released, I watched it and I liked it, and then I didn't watch it again. But then we already watched and realized that I really do like
See, and
that
we're both metalheads, so for us,
movie
it's it's a metal horror movie, so we really enjoyed it.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, I know why she picked this movie, because like the beginning of the movie just starts out with like metal, like rah, and
Right.
everything. And
There
I was just
is a
like,
lot of
whoa.
music in this movie.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack. The posters and the t-shirts were really cool. Like,
Right.
yeah, the whole aesthetic is badass.
Well, I was like, holy shit, they got like Metallica at the end, for Whom the Bell Tolls. And what I was like thinking when I was listening to that, I was going, well, you know what? Maybe they did that. Like, maybe they had to get it because they had the Metallica t-shirt, like they can't, they're already, publishing the band, like they might
I
as
mean,
well
knowing
already do the rights.
Metallica and whatnot, they probably did have to pay for rights. And they're like, well, if we're gonna have to pay for this, then we might as
I
well get
was
the
thinking the
whole
same thing.
package deal and just go like song, shirts, everything.
Like
I
anything we
know.
put hands on, if we're going to pay the money, we might as well get it, the bundle.
Because this was a, I mean, this was a low budget film. You could tell,
Oh yeah, it was yeah, very much. I mean, you could tell that they actually probably spent a large portion of the budget, because it's not real, fraught with special effects and crazy things like that. But what they did was they licensed really good music. They licensed really good like artwork and portrayals of like the bands and stuff like that. So I mean, there was some really, I think there was some interesting places they put their money.
And there wasn't a big set really. It was very low key set. They
Yeah,
only
right.
filmed like maybe a few spots.
Yeah,
I
there's
don't
only
know
three
how they
spots. did the fire, because that was fucking awesome, I guess. But I guess Sarah, tell us a little bit about how like what this movie's about.
Well, I mean, you start off with this rocker heavy metal dad, his wife and his daughter. He's an artist. He's working commissions. They're struggling, so he's having to make commissions that aren't really his style. But he's doing it for his family. They want to move. They want to buy a house. Like they got the teenage daughter who's kind of struggling to fit in. So they end up buying this house that the only reason they could afford is because there was a murder committed in it. And this guy seemed to have just been possessed basically, and he killed his parents. So the house became available, it became cheap, they moved in, and before you know it, crazy things started happening, and the guy shows back up and more crazy things start happening, and it's just all over the place from
It's almost
there.
like the whoever the victims of the main killer, like almost channeling their voices through the artist. And so he starts like obsessively painting like grisly murder scenes and real dark twisted stuff. And
Right, like
yeah.
the first guy who was possessed, was really into his guitar and the music and playing that same note. And then that possession kind of passes to the dad who is a painter, and he gets possessed kind of, and his possession goes into his paintings, which was pretty freaking creepy though. Like I'd like to own that painting.
Yeah.
See, I'm not even, because like I thought that he was using the guitar to like drown out the voices.
But it was I don't know if he was using it to drown out the voices or if it was more of just the voices were telling him that he needed to continue and couldn't
Huh.
stop. I
I
don't know.
never
That's how
thought
I
about
took
that.
it.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
I don't
That's
know. How did you
interesting.
take that, Jonathan? When he couldn't stop playing the same notes in the guitar and he just wanted to play loud, did you consider that
Yeah,
more
right
of
before the
he was
cop came
trying?
and everything.
Right, and he did that
Yeah.
at the house too, and his mother was screaming at him before she died.
Oh
Like, do
yeah.
you consider him playing the same notes loud as him trying to drown out the voices, or the voices were making him do it?
I think the voices were making him do it just the same as the voices were making that guy paint, you know, they couldn't stop painting. So, I mean, what I got out of it was like, whatever demons that these were or whatever, they were possessing people through art, you know, which is actually never, like, I've never seen that done before. So I thought that was a kudos to like an original idea.
It's actually really interesting because, like, I'm going to get real nerdy on you for a second, but, like, back in the Renaissance when the church was really big, the Catholic Church was, like, starting to seize power, they used to kind of, like, accuse artists of being heretics and wizards for conjuring up these really twisted works of art, these really twisted worlds. And, like, Hieronymus Bosch was this crazy-ass painter that got in, like, a ton of fucking trouble for the pictures that he painted. So I thought it was interesting to see that in a movie, like a contemporary horror film.
Yeah, maybe they got their inspiration a little bit from that. I don't know. That's kind of a cool idea. I would like to know where, like, I would love to, like, get a Blu-ray or something of this someday and having it for, like, listening, if there's, like, commentary or something, you know, and hearing.
Yeah, maybe a director's commentary cut would be interesting of where some of this came from.
I will say, though, this is a movie that I probably wouldn't watch, like, a lot, you know? This isn't something I could watch a lot because it's just... I don't know. There's just something about the movie where I could, it's almost feels like a movie that I'd only watch again if like somebody really, really wanted to watch it, you know, or something like they had.
The pace is really slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of takes a minute to get to the big, you know.
Yeah. And then I do feel like the ending, when they ended it, maybe they cut it off a little soon. I would like to have known a little bit more after that, but you know, I get why they ended it where they did, but at the same time I felt like I wanted a few more answers.
I feel like there should have been a lot more answers. Like, I mean, they really didn't, you never really figure anything out, you know.
I think this would have been a great TV series where they could have stretched it out with more information.
Haven't you said this before? Yeah, you said this at the last IFC one we did with Paul.
Loves horror like series.
Well, you know, it would have kind of reminded me, you know, of like a Bates Motel feeling or something like that, if they did a TV series about, you know, like why the guy got possessed in the first place, why the possession, whoever lived on the property got possessed in this artistic way. How he hid all those bodies of all those children and all those suitcases, how the cops would react when they found all those kids, you know, like that would have been stretched out into a pretty good show.
And they mentioned the fact, because the guy, the killer, he was a really compelling character. And they mentioned the fact that like he got in trouble for doing something similar when he was a kid. Like he, you know, he attacked somebody when he was like 9 or something like that. So there's like a whole history. And they said that he spent like 20 years in a mental hospital and like all this other weird backstory that didn't really have any payoff.
Yeah.
You know, and I really got I sense like a theme of, you know, with the dad not being able to like fulfill like any of his promises, you know, a little bit, you know, every time he like makes a promise to his daughter, like it just, you know, never happens or whatever. Something like usually he gets like he's possessed with whatever and he
kept not picking her up from school.
Well, about like his obsession was all consuming. Like he starts off the movie, you know, obviously as the loving father willing to do anything for his daughter, and by the end of it he's so obsessed and drawn into his work that nothing else matters.
Exactly.
I think a lot of that was the demonic possession of it all.
Yeah, so what was up with the only thing I was like wondering throughout it was like there's that the TV was talking about Satan and everything, and I was like, is he just like listening to this thing about Satan the whole time? Like, what in the world is going on here? Like,
that whole underlying theme where like, you know, Satan was basically supporting this guy on his mission to go murder. Essentially, if you listen into the sermons, it's talking about how Satan's agents work and things like that. And then when he talks to the guy that's the curator of the art museum, like that guy is clearly a satanic figure. And like he even says, like after he takes him and he tells him that he wants his art, he says the name of the art studio is like Belial, which is the name of like a prince of hell. Yeah. So it's kind of like, these demons are like taking these men and then like, you know, guiding their hands into this certain, you know, path.
Yeah, well, it, Well, it was interesting that like they didn't want his art until it was demonic, you know?
Exactly,
and
yeah.
That look on that girl's face when she saw it, you know, or whatever, like you knew, like they're gonna want this, like they're gonna want these pieces.
I wanted it.
Yeah, right.
It was cool as shit.
It was cool. I thought it was crazy that like all the kids, you know, like you don't really see that. And see, that's another like indie slash like not Hollywood thing is they wouldn't ever attack kids. Like that's what I don't know.
I was about to say, tell that to the telephone pole in Hereditary, man.
Well, that's not Hollywood, I don't think. Is
that not? I thought Hereditary was a bigger budget.
I thought Hereditary was more still indie. I think those movies are still sort of...
It's Devil's Candy, which the whole premise was the guy was killing these kids because that was candy to the devil. He was feeding the devil children's souls, basically, by killing them. You know, and that was the whole premise of the thing is... I need to continue. I don't want to kill these kids, but I need to because that's what his candy is. That's what he's hungry for. And I need to appease the devil.
Why does the devil want kids' souls? Like,
well, the devil wants innocent souls. That's if you're going with the like the Judeo-Christian myth of the devil,
true.
He wants innocent souls because the innocent souls he can turn into demons. They're not already damned. They're not the ones filling hell. They're the ones working for hell. So you take a bunch of pure souls and then you corrupt them yourself to make them who you want. And then you send out your demons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, it's hella scary.
No pun intended.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell that poor guy, he didn't want to kill the kids. He just, he had to, like, he was under control by the devil.
Right. And I really felt bad for that guy, you know, the whole time, but like, I mean, all the way up to his death, you know, like he just, he couldn't help it. I want to talk about that scene. My favorite scene in the whole movie is the scene where the dude is at the house, shows up at the house. He's like, this is my parents' house and everything. Mm-hmm. And that scene was so creepy and so freaked me out.
When they were knocking on the door and talking to the girl?
Yeah. Because I was like, what girl would literally be talking to that guy?
Right, like I didn't think he thought it was the pizza guy, but the minute you realize it's not the pizza guy and it's some creepy guy, wouldn't you shut the door or call for your parents? I mean...
Well, she did that. She did that. She said, hey, mom, or dad, mom, somebody's here and he's not the pizza guy. So, like, she knew it, and she kept talking to the guy.
But she also kept that conversation a little long and the door open a little wide for some creepy guy standing in her door. But
well, I mean, once he talked about the guitar, you know, that's all she wanted.
Yeah, he was like, oh.
And he was trying to give that fucking guitar away, you know? I wonder if they had taken the guitar, you know, what would have happened? Because like we were talking about earlier, that guitar was that guy's way to, you know, deal with the possession
instead of when it got left there the second time. Like maybe if they would have taken it in the first place and he didn't go back into the hotel and play it and get freaked out, maybe it would have panned out slightly different. But I mean, they still ended up with the guitar in the end because
I just, you know, that was the part that didn't really make a whole lot. It didn't make sense to me why he would leave her, other than the fact that he kept saying that she was special and that he didn't want to kill her and all these things. Just from a writing standpoint, I didn't understand why he left like his one like safety blanket or whatever, or however I kind of interpreted that, why he would like give her that one thing that like
connects him to that.
I mean, but maybe he was hoping that if he gave it to her, she would take over his burden or his role or something like that.
That's an interesting theory.
That's what I was thinking. But the only problem I have with that is she's a kid. And so it wanted her. You know,
right? And he ended up taking her anyways,
right? So,
but also it gave the dad a really good excuse to kill a guy with a flaming flying V, and that was pretty badass.
Right. That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
It was.
That ending, I mean, period, like fucking awesome. Yeah. Like
that whole scene when he finally comes into the house and like he ices the cops and like just starts going ham on the whole household, like that shit was, it was really, really well shot too, man, because it's like you didn't know who was dead, who was alive, who was about to die. Like, you didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, except one thing pissed me off about that scene.
What? And
that was that the mother went to go look when she heard, we all heard, like, that lady crying.
Oh, yeah. Screaming.
Yeah. You fucking run, man.
Right? We've all seen enough horror movies to know that if you have security detail outside because somebody's trying to kill you and you hear them screaming bloody murder,
get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And go call for help.
I mean, you don't even need to watch horror films to know. If you hear somebody screaming bloody murder and you know somebody's coming after you, period, that's gotta mean, that can't mean like she's just stubbed her toe, you know. Right. He's like,
when I think of reason in a movie, I'm like, yes, but if they would have gone with reason, there wouldn't be a movie.
That
bugs me too. I'm the person who will yell at the screen and be like, are you seriously looking out the window and looking out there and running? God. Like, really?
Did you guys ever see that movie, Vacancy?
Years ago.
Yeah. There's a scene though where like the main chick is, she's getting stalked through this motel and you know the killers are after her, and she runs into the police car to see if there's keys, and there's no keys. She's like, oh God. And she runs out of the police car and there's a shotgun sitting right fucking next to her, and she just gets out and doesn't take the shotgun, and it ruined the rest of the movie for me. Like, I was pissed off. I was like, you could have just greased both those guys and been done with this.
That's funny. Yeah.
I'm always yelling at TV, you know, about,
well, no, and I was doing that. I was all by myself yelling, bitch, run. Like, fuck. I don't like that shit. That see, as a writer, it annoys me. And I'm like, these are my things. Like, I understand, like, yeah, you have to sometimes for plot reasons, you know, like there's some things, you know, you can't have a movie, a shark movie, and nobody go in the water. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's no movie then, you know, unless it's a land shark, you know? Right. And that's a thing, you know, in these horror movies. But in this like world, you know, she could have done almost anything at that
point. Anything. Gone into the kitchen and got a knife. Like, something. Exactly. Something.
Yeah.
Even the dad got a bat. I can't believe that he didn't. I'm sorry. Did you just teed off on some of the back of somebody's head like that? You'd think they'd have a bigger reaction than to just turn around and shoot you.
Right. But it was- So I don't know. It was crazy. It was such a kind of a weird fucking movie in a way, you know.
But it was kind of one of those weird artistic, you know, movies, you know.
The imagery was really well done. I thought it was really well shot for like what was clearly a pretty low budget movie. The performances, the cast was great, but you're right. There was just some like weird, not even just plot holes, just like, why the fuck did you do that? Like moments.
And I don't know like if that is from the writing or if that, because I always talk about this in a lot of reviews. As a filmmaker, I know sometimes writing stuff changes, you know.
Oh, it has, so, like, for logistics and things.
Yeah, or stuff that, but you know.
So somebody's like, oh, well, we can't just have her run away because we need her to see, you know, we need to see what's going on outside. So we need her to go see it. But then it still doesn't make any sense, you know. Right. And so you're like if I had written it, I would have had the chick hear the person screaming, then run somewhere to hide. Because remember, they hid, but they didn't hide very far because they couldn't figure out a place to go, you know. Yeah. So that's what it probably would have. They would have either gone upstairs, you know, and try to hide up there, or they would have been, you know, downstairs like they were, and just hid, you know. And I would have liked that better because it would have been, I think it would have been more fun for him to like still chasing, be like looking, chasing them, looking for them. Like, he knows they're there, you know, where are they?
Instead, it's one of those grab and drags, you know.
Yeah. Which I don't ever really like those because I'm like, okay, I understand he's possessed, but he's not a fucking Hulk, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Because there's another scene in the movie that pisses me off, and you knew I was going to bring this up. You knew we talked about it when we were watching the movie. So I used to work in excavation, like construction, right?
Right.
Like dirt. I know more about dirt than anybody you know, man. Like, I know a lot about dirt. And every time in every serial killer movie, there's some pre-dug grave And then they just toss the body in. And I'm like, do you know how fucking long it takes to dig a hole that size? Like hours and hours and hours.
Dude, it takes a long time to fucking dig a dog's bury a dog
in a grave. Yeah.
Right.
Pop that up, because like they show him walk out there with a shovel, and then all of a sudden he has a hole, and it's like, that's not how that works at all, man.
I mean, it would take him a long ass time.
Yeah,
they don't show the long ass time, you know, like, but you know, and they're not gonna fade and say 2 hours later, you know.
Yeah,
like it's so,
what do you want to make the like later. Like show him digging, and then like he tosses it in the hole when the sun's coming up. Like that would be more realistic, you know what I mean? But yeah,
right. It drives me nuts. Like those kind of things where I know time is like, you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes people just try to get from point A to point B, you know, in a movie script. They're not thinking that point A to point B takes a lot longer than what, you know, people are. They just think people just go with it because it's a movie. And
right. I've seen that in a few movies that have upset me. You know, it's like, I wasn't a huge fan of the remake of the Pet Sematary, but one thing that bugged me is when they had him go to the really far side of the graveyard where the voodoo shit was going on, and it took him like all day. And then later in the movie, they had him go to the same spot and it took him 5 minutes. And I'm like, huh?
That's a continuity error right there.
Right? I was like, I thought that was so far away. It took you like a whole day. And now all of a sudden you did it in 5 minutes. I'm like, you must have memorized the route or something there. But
did they give you roller skates? Like,
so that sort of thing does kind of bug me with like, okay, so you're saying it takes a whole day to do this, but then all of a sudden it takes 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, they have like a hoverboard or something now. Right. You know, right through everything.
Fast travel because they were already there once.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's time travel right there. Like it gets right there, you know. But yeah, it. I don't know. The movie itself, all in all, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot more than. I mean, I'm one of those people that, okay, I'm Christian. I really do believe in the devil, you know, and all this stuff. So sometimes I don't like to watch these things because I'm all like freaked out, like. You know, I was watching.
Well, that's like people who believe in ghosts watching paranormal stuff and ghost stuff. It freaks them out more than it would freak somebody out who doesn't believe in it, you know?
Right. And so it was funny because I was watching Conjuring, right? The Devil Made Me Do It, the new one.
I fell asleep to it.
Yeah, it was very good.
Whatever. I enjoyed it. It's okay, you know? But I was watching it and I'm here just with my dog, right? I had my door shut. You know, right? And I hear like this big bang, you know, outside in the middle of the movie. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, you know, I don't know if my mind, but the dog starts barking. So I knew I wasn't just hearing shit.
Right.
And I was like, oh, great. Something fell, you know.
Right.
But like my mind was like going, okay, this had to be happening like during this
movie. Right. Yeah.
Now like my brain is going
to happen to knock the garbage can over during the scary movie. Like what timing?
Right. Oh, speaking of, okay. I'll tell you this real quick. This will be a non, like, you know how we go off topic sometimes. I was watching, we're watching The Ring. Me and my friends were back when it first came out, right? 2002 or one, something like that. Okay. And I was working at a video store at the time. So we got one of those tapes, like the screeners. So we had an actual tape. So we put it in like the tape that you're supposed to see in the movie, whatever, right? So we're watching it and it does the whole bit where if you know, you'll watch this and then, you know, the phone will ring, right? You know, the phone will ring. My friend's phone rang after it said that.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
And we thought somebody was fucking with us or something. Right. So we were like afraid to even answer it, you know? Oh, no. And so my friend answers it and it's his uncle who just literally called at that time. Like wasn't planning.
Yeah.
Just was a coincidence. But that shit scared the hell out of us.
Right.
And I was like, it's moments like that you're just like, okay. Yeah. That like, was that a coincidence or was that like... Right. Supposed to happen.
Playing a really mean joke on you.
Psych.
I mean, that would be funny if you knew somebody was watching The Ring and then you called them and you're like,
right?
7 days. I would do that. I would do that if I knew somebody specifically was watching.
There you go, Jonathan.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody can see it, but Sarah is is doing the ring, doing Samara.
Oh yeah, that's my next Halloween outfit.
Well, it's really funny. Like, it's really weird to like watch that movie and then watch Donnie Darko, because it's the young girl from Donnie Darko is Samara from the ring. You know, so like it's so strange because like she's really not that scary unless you have like a bunch of hair in front of her face.
Yeah,
and stuff, that's coming after you.
Design for the ring, like even when they did Ringu, like that was just, it was inherently scary because it's like this frail, twisted being that just has this like unearthly power to just fucking kill you. So it's just, I don't know. And little kids freak me out.
That's the part in The Conjuring I really loved, was when the kid was like doing all those contortionist stuff, oh, and just, like moving his shit. I was like, that's like that is almost out of like a fucking Japanese horror.
Yeah.
Film, you know? Oh yeah. But does The Conjuring, this is that exorcism scene was like super visual and really interesting to watch. Like the whole, when they're first exercising the little kid, that shit got intense. That was,
I know, crazy. It's a movie, and I don't know how many people of our listeners have seen it yet, so I don't want to spoil that too much for people. But
well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
By the time this comes out, if you haven't seen it yet, that's kind of your fault. But
I mean, yeah, you had a chance to.
Right, you had a chance. But
it
no,
should be over. It should be over now at HBO Max, because July 4th is the, you know, the date.
Yeah. Whatever. But I enjoyed the movie we watched. But yeah, right, it's not a movie you would watch consistently. It's more of a movie that you would show people or watch once, or maybe put on at a party for background. Especially with us,
I wouldn't put it on a background, you know.
For us,
that wouldn't be out of the norm.
Yeah,
at all.
Because we're all like satanic metalheads who love that sort of shit. So for us, putting that on in the background, we would probably have so many people stop and be like, "What is this?" You know. So
I had a really good discussion with somebody the other day, where I was talking to them, and I didn't have an answer for this, and so now you guys say you're satanic metalheads or whatever, right? I'll flat out say it was my sister who mentioned to me she does not believe that she believes that all Satanists are Christians, you know, because in order to be a Satanist, you have to believe in the devil.
Not really.
There's a big difference between like Luciferian Satanists and Levian Satanists and the Temple of Satan, and like
there's different branches where some of them do, and some of them where it's like more modern day Satanism where you don't actually believe in the devil or God. You believe in being good to people and karma, and
it's
like
the
just
power of yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's more of believing in yourself and making your own path. So there's actually no religion involved in it.
But however, though, when you look into like Luciferian Satanism, that's when you're talking about like a dogmatic, like people actually believe in like a half goat, half, you know, right, like winged monster thing. Like, and those guys, they exist as well. But those guys do have to at least believe the Christian story. Otherwise, yeah, you're just being an asshole and you just think goats are cool.
Man. Yeah. Well, I mean, so you guys don't believe in the you know, you don't believe in like Jesus and all that stuff, right? Like,
not really.
I don't do religion at all. I mean, I just don't believe in anything. Like, I believe in good energy, do good onto others, you know.
Which is so funny that that's sort of what Satanism is, and a lot of people always just view it as, you know, like a lot of Christians just believe it as
it's basically about having no master and being your own vessel. Like, I choose to be a good person, I choose to be charitable, I choose to be kind to others and to recycle and to put out good energy. I want to put out good and receive good and just peace and goodwill, you know, love everybody.
Was that the power of you know, what's it called, you know what I'm talking about, where you're basically, you're projecting what you want, and then,
right,
you know,
it's the power of manifestation. Manifest your will.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel like that's, again, you know, whatever, like that's not of God, you know, Christians believe that's not of God's, you know, thing or whatever, that's something else. And I, I believe, like, I was brought up Unitarian. My parents aren't very, you know, and they're not, they're spiritual, but they're not very religious at all. They left their church and they don't practice that stuff. And so it, to me, I was brought up to believe whatever I want to believe, you know, which I chose to be a Lutheran, you know, because I felt like that was my calling and I believe in God. And I believe in all that stuff. But I don't push my beliefs on people, you know, like I never really did that.
Whoever you are. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, no. What were you saying?
You were just saying, no, that's good. You like, that's good that you can have all your faith and have all this and not pressure other people and push on other people, because it's, you know, it's everybody's right and everybody's decision to be who they want to be.
Exactly. And if I had kids, I would tell them the exact same thing. It's like, you know, if you want to go to church, awesome. If you don't, that's up to you, you know.
I do have a son, and we had that conversation because he knows that I'm not a Christian, but his mother is. And we had that talk, and he was kind of trying to impress me, but he was just like, Dad, I think when I grow up, I'm not going to be a Christian. And I was like, don't say that, man. You don't know where your path is going to lead you. And you're the only, your spiritual self, whether you're or lack there, that's your path. That's your decision. You will ultimately come draw those conclusions yourself, and you shouldn't let anybody else do that for you.
Yeah, like my path came because I would go to Sunday school with my friends when we'd hang out, you know, like when I would stay the night over at my friend's house when I was young, I would go to Sunday school and I would go to Lutheran church, right? Years later, another friend in my high school, you know, baptized me in a different Lutheran church. So I always believed that, well, maybe I'm just meant to be Lutheran, you know, like, because that was, you know, and that's fine. That was my path. I had a fun time, you know, in Sunday school. You're and everything.
Also out the streets yelling at everybody that isn't Lutheran that they're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem.
Yeah, no, I absolutely 100% agree. Like, the problem is that a lot of people do kind of try to push their faith on you and whatnot. And what I've been kind of taught with other things in my life is that the one way to get people, if you really do want somebody to do that, is to show what, you know, show what you're doing, you right. know, and everything. And that's kind of how I got into it, is I liked what my friend was, you know, how my friend was. And, you know, we started hanging out and he started getting me back in church, you know.
And, see, and that's actually, believe it or not, that's a really similar structure to kind of the way the modern Satanism works, where it's more community organized and it's more about, like, you know.
Do you have Satanists like bake sales? And
it is, yeah, though. No, you know, Satan does have bake sales.
They have after school and charity drives for the
it's
homeless.
It's so funny stuff. Because, like, you just, like, it's got to be hard, though, you know, to kind of go around and say, like, look, I'm a Satanist in a world where that is very much looked down upon. It's
right.
You know, even though people just, it's just misunderstood, maybe.
It is misunderstood. It is. But you could definitely tell that this movie did have a very satanic vibe to it, like kind of like the witch vibe to it, where there was the devil in control of people.
Yeah, it had like the literal Satan in it. You know what I mean? It was that the movie devil. Was very much about like the dogmatic version of, you know, demons and Satan and hell and, you know, Antichrist or anti-Christian imagery and things like that.
Yeah, so I won't watch that movie, and I've talked to Paul about this and other people. You know, Paul's like, why won't you watch this? And I go, because I've heard that they've promoted it. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but they promoted it as that they actually have had real spells used in that movie.
They used what they did is they used journals that they found from that era. And like even witches journals and witch finders journals and things like that. Usually the spells that are in that movie were recorded by a witch finder. So they're probably, you can take that with a grain of salt. Those guys like to make shit a lot more evil than it was so that they could kill women. But what they did is they used all these journals for a lot of the dialogue in that movie. So the dialogue is like period specific.
Yeah. So it makes me just like, a little worried about watching it, you know. Like,
I loved it.
You know, hey, I may watch it someday, but I'm just like, I'm not ready, you know. Like, it's, you know, it's my faith, and so I just believe that, like, I don't want to open myself up to something that's demonic, you know, at all. That like, even I was a little worried watching this movie, knowing that it was a devil movie, you know, or whatever like that, because I am one of the things I did watch after I re-reviewed the, well, actually right before we reviewed The Conjuring, I watched this video on The Conjuring series, you know, and it talked about
so the actual Ray Moran and because they were real people that were involved in some real wild shit.
Yep, it was all about them, and it was about what, you know, what The Conjuring was about, basically, you know, the whole universe kind of thing. And so one of the things that they said was that that people who are like, you know, a little bit more you know, more scared of this kind of stuff, right? Like, you know, whatever, gotta should stay away from like the demon or ghost stuff, because they will attach themselves to you, you know, and shit. If you're more sensitive to it, they know that they can sense that energy, and they'll follow you home. And that's what, like, they were talking about one of the people that was with Ed and Lorraine Warren. One of the people brought one, you know, a spirit back with them, like a malevolent spirit back with them. And, you know, and somebody's like, freaked me out, man. I was just like, you know, I can't deal with that shit. You know, like, I was like, I don't want an Ouija board. Even though I have a Ouija pillow, I don't think I've summoned anybody when I was moving my head.
There's a Ouija pillow right there.
Yeah, I've got a different one, but yeah, it's still similar to that, you know. But it was, you know, it's one of those things where I'm a little freaked out by that shit, because it can really be real, I think, you know.
Yeah, and even like, because like, if you think about like things like magic, and even if it's not real, if it's just somebody that believes it's real, that psychological effect is 100% real. You know what I mean? If somebody believes that they're possessed by a demon, like truly believes, like deep in their bones, that they're possessed by a demon, then who's to say they're not? You know what I mean?
Yep. That was sort of what the real life situation was with that court case for Conjuring. We are talking way too much about other movies than about the movie.
Yeah, I was trying to divert it back by bringing the movie back up, but y'all are nerding out over here. It's cool. But like we were saying, the devil's candy does have a satanic vibe to it. And
that's not really...
It's not like, it's not something too overly crazy or something that you wouldn't enjoy, but it is something that I would put on as a background, like you said, at maybe one of our heavy metal parties or something like that. I think it'll go over very well, but it's not something I would put on regularly. But I do think it was a really good artistic piece and movie. It had a lot of great... the score on it was great. The music on it was great. And of course, you know, we're metalheads, we know that. Like, I like how she had a ghost poster. I've seen ghosts perform a few times, you know. It's like, so it was pretty cool.
Osher, I told you when we were watching the movie, there's at one point he shows up in this like vintage Sun O shirt. Sun O's a band that I love, and I wanted that shirt so bad.
Maybe you can find it online.
Yeah. Probably could, but his was like all beat up and vintage and shit. Yeah. It was really nice.
So I mean, we appreciated the metal aspect of the movie, you know, as a metalhead, relatable content. So
yeah, I'm not a metalhead, but I like respect, you know, the music. But that's just not for me. I'm a punk guy, you know. But once again, I think I think it's how you're raised, you know, like. I was raised like, you know, listening to punk with my friends and stuff like that. You guys were probably all metal heads when you guys were young, you know.
I was raised country.
I was a punk rock kid, but I listened to a lot of heavy metal too. Mm-hmm. And then I was a musician, so the better I got at music kind of dictated what I was listening to.
Yeah.
So I got good enough to play heavy metal, and I listened to a lot of heavy metal.
Well, I mean, so to be honest, I have to ask this because I don't know anything about music, the difference between punk and metal, but like, which one's harder to play?
Well, I mean, that's subjective, because there's some really good punk bands and there's some really shitty metal bands, but typically heavy metal was meant to be more technically difficult, like on purpose, And punk was kind of created as an answer to that, to be like, hey, fuckstick, I didn't go to Juilliard, but I know three chords and I can still play as heavy as you can.
Right. So
punk rock kind of by design is a little bit more stripped down than metal. That's not to say that there aren't really talented punk rock bands out there, but metal kind of prides itself, especially certain genres of metal really pride themselves in being like horrendously, like almost dickishly difficult to both listen to and play.
I don't know, metal like that. So it gives you a chance to respect Metallica a little bit more and all these other bands.
There's some good bands and good music and promotion in that film.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, the soundtrack, the everything about it, and like the setting, that cool door. And they kept using that door in as many shots as they could in the house with the big red cross on it. That was awesome. I love that door.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's always
so the art design was pretty good.
It was very artistic, in my opinion,
and I guess the art design also comes with the actual art itself, getting the artist to make it and everything, which made me just like, it was sort of funny because like you get Ethan Embry there, who is, I mean, I've loved him ever since Empire Records, you know, stuff like I've loved that movie since I was a kid, you know, and everything. Funny, speaking of metal, Gwar actually is from my, you know, town or whatever. Yep. And they were in Empire
and
Records.
That's who he remember. He was pot brownie at Empire Records. Yeah.
And he's like, and he goes into the music video and gets eaten by the like crab or whatever that it was, the crab monster. So I loved Ethan Embry from there, but watching him actually like, you know, play an artist and everything was pretty cool because like it looked like he sort of knew what he was doing, even if he probably obviously he didn't make that, like that wasn't a Ethan Embry art piece. I mean if it was, congrats, you know, that's awesome, but I doubt
his performance was very convincing. I never thought, you know, it didn't strike me as like him faking it, you know what I mean, or something like that. He seemed to like, I don't, he was just, he acted very, and he's a good actor, but he like his performance had a lot of range in that role, and that role really doesn't have like a whole ton of dialogue.
Right. It's just mainly fear in his face, which he was really good at.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think if I'm correct, and I did not look this up or anything, so I don't know for a fact, but I think Ethan Embry had taken a little bit of a break from acting, like doing anything like sort of whatever. And this movie was sort of a comeback picture for him because I think later on he did some other movies and got himself out there a little bit more. But and I actually got to meet him at Texas Frightmare weekend back in 2018, I want to say.
I can't remember. I might have been at that one.
He was there and I was with one of my friends and she was so scared to like she was terrified to meet him because she was such a huge fan. And she was so scared and I was telling her like, keep going through the line, you know, it's going to be all right. And he was
I think all three of us were at that Frightmare.
Funny, you know, it's funny because
we were all there, not together, but we all were there.
We might have bumped into each other and we don't know it because I don't know if you guys had known each other back then.
We've
known each other for like 10 years.
Okay.
But yeah, he does, you know, Warlord Radio podcast, and part of that podcast, they go to Texas Frightmare Weekend as well, him and Craig. So they were there doing their interviews and doing their stuff. And then, you know, I was there with my ex-husband. So like we all were around, you know.
Yeah. Are you guys going again this year?
I have to go. Well, the movie that I'm in is being screened and then I'm covering the event again for my podcast.
I might go, but like when I originally had tickets, you know, COVID canceled the original one, and I got refunded for that because I didn't know where I would be, you know, my point in time. So I've already refunded everything, like my hotel stay and everything, because, you know, I had a hotel to hide it and everything. I refunded everything. So it's gonna be on a whim. I don't know yet.
Well, I know I won't this year.
I probably will, so I can see you. But
I know. If I could, I would, but I just don't. Like, we're doing Scares That Care this year because I've never missed a Scares That Care yet. And even last year, I was afraid because I was in LA that I was going to miss it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to miss Scares I Care. And then, nope, did not miss it because it didn't happen. It's a charity event that that's a convention too. So it's a charity convention. So every it's Scares I Care helps like sick children and you know, and people who really need it. Where is that hosted at?
Where is it hosted at?
Oh, in Williamsburg, where I live. Okay. So literally 10 minutes from where I live. Okay. So yeah. I just drive down 10 minutes and just go. You know,
yeah, whatever. No, that sounds cool.
Usually I get a hotel room because, like, even if I don't, since I don't drink, I'm still there. Yeah. Like, it's easy, you know, because I'm not going to do that this year. I'm mm-hmm. just going to be driving back and forth, and it's a pain in the ass because you have to find parking every single time, and yeah. you know, convention. Yeah,
so. That was the weird thing about Frymer's. It's in the DFW airport, which yeah. is the worst, like. Road system I've ever been in and my
even,
entire life.
So even as somebody living in Dallas, having Texas Frymer weekend in the Hyatt Regency at the airport, the first time I ever went, we got so lost in that airport. We were driving around looped for like an hour, mm-hmm. you know, and then finally the second time that I went, you know, we got a hotel at the Hyatt actually, so it'd be easier. And then like the third time I got a hotel out right outside the airport and had a shuttle, and that was a mistake because that was just as annoying. But having yeah. it in an area where you have to literally go through an airport, like go through all the gates, go around the parking, get a pass, get a ticket, and do all this was a little frustrating. I wish it could just be at a convention where you can literally just pull up to a parking lot, park, and go in.
It's funny because, like, for me it was easy because I was coming in from the, you know, airport. So I'd just take a shuttle to the air. If I was staying at the Hyatt, I'd just say, you know, call the Hyatt.
The only good part about it is, you know, all the celebrities who are flying in, they just fly in. They're right there at the hotel and whatnot. And it's easy for them. People who are flying in for the thing, like, it's easy if you're an outsider, but if you're a right. local, you're a
it's
local.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah, I get it. I don't really like, I honestly, I hate airports, like, period, you know, they're
miserable places. They're awful.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I didn't start realizing this till I was like flying back and forth from LA and I was like, I don't want to be doing this, you know, like, but you know, whatever. I mean, it's better than driving. I drove both ways across the country and I do not want to do that. Ever again.
Much rather drive. Flying is so much quicker, but I just driving is better. I like driving a lot. I'd much rather take a long ass road trip than fly.
Yeah, well,
but I'm an old road warrior kid. Yeah, I've been a musician for a long time. I've been crammed.
You're on the road all the time. I get it. You know, it's understandable. But all right, to kind of, I guess, recap a little bit more of this movie before we, you know, wrap it up. So the one thing I did want to mention that I forgot to mention earlier was that I did not like the mother. Now, I love Sherry Appleby. Mm-hmm. I love her to death. I just felt like the mother was her awkward therapy. And weird
yeah.
at times.
Yeah.
And yeah. almost kind of like she had to be there.
Yeah, she didn't. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to that character at all, other than she's like, "Oh, I'm kind of mad at my husband."
She was the odd one out because they both were, her daughter and her husband were metalheads. It seemed like she wasn't, and it just seemed like she was more the normie in the situation. You
like,
know?
How long have they been married? Because like,
obviously a long time. No, seems like they've been together since maybe they were kids, considering the how old their daughter is.
Didn't he help her smoke weed for the first time? Or something, isn't there that scene?
First time, but he offered it to her, and she was. But I got the impression that they like probably met in high school, and she was probably a little bit more wild back then.
Yeah.
And then you know, then that they shit had happens in real life. My kid's yeah. mom is a kindergarten teacher now. Like,
well, and the other thing is, did you guys ever hear? Like, I don't remember her ever saying what job she had.
Yeah, I worked in a salon. She said at one point, she said she had to take two buses to get to the salon that she worked okay. at.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. all they mentioned of it.
Okay, yeah. So well, then that makes sense with the two buses and everything of like, yeah. why
her
she can't pick it.
Really minute, like her, she didn't have a big role, really. Except
well, she couldn't pick up the daughter, which, you know, because I mean, I was like thinking, why wouldn't that guy just ask his wife to pick up his daughter if he knew he was going to have that guy come right. over there, you know, or something.
Yeah, It seemed like they were sharing a car, but I don't understand, right? Like, even if they were sharing a car, why couldn't she have used the car? Like, how come she never drove? Was there a reason why she couldn't use the car, you know?
Maybe
Or
she.
she had to, he had to pick up the kid. That was like his responsibility during the
Yeah.
workout.
Right.
And
But
then
on
he
that day, I
failed.
wasn't like, I got this really important meeting. I'm gonna need you to take the rest of the day off and go get the damn kid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
Teamwork.
well, yeah, or something like that. I've been to like a couple of haircut places, and honestly, I think people just can leave whenever they fucking feel like it. That's what it feels like to me, you
Yeah, I'd
know.
be like, hey, I gotta go pick up my kid real quick. Go take the car to pick up the kid and then go
Well,
back along with her or something, you know?
exactly. So, you know, what I would imagine is him picking her up from her salon, you know, driving back to the house, drop him off, then go, she can go pick up the kid, and then he can, you know, have that guy come
Yeah,
over.
there were ways that it could have been worked around if
But then
they
it wouldn't have
wanted
worked out
like that.
because
Yeah.
he even got into the car and the car broke down, you
Right.
know?
We got a tire, yeah.
He
Which
was.
maybe that was, you know, the like I said, maybe that was the demons,
Right.
you know.
Well, it was
Yeah,
like
that
that happened
happened right after he toasted with that guy who was clearly like a metaphor for the devil.
yeah.
You know what I mean? And the guy was, you know, basically kind of telling him that, you know, if you don't have this drink, then we don't have a deal. You know, it was a, he kind of like insinuated that. So the dude's hauling ass and driving recklessly, and then everything goes to shit. His daughter gets kidnapped. Bad day. Bad day
Yeah,
for
it's a terrible day. He
that.
gets kidnapped. She gets kidnapped and then runs away. You know, gets.
Right. Well, and she wasn't even supposed to go to school in the first place. She was supposed to stay home, but she wanted to go to school.
Yeah, but if
Oh,
she
but yeah,
stayed
I forgot.
home, that guy just would have came to her house. You know,
But
like.
at least then her dad would have been there and like the devil dude. So I don't know.
I don't know. But again, these are all things that we're nitpicking that if they had done right, we really wouldn't have that entertaining of a movie. It would have been like, guy gets his daughter from school. Everything's great.
Right.
Killer couldn't
Or she stays at
get
home and all this stuff happens, but like the
Right.
dad protects her.
Right. Movie over. They changed the locks. They bought a
Yeah, fine. Everything was fine.
gun.
That guy got the help he needed from a state hospital.
Which
Like,
I'm really fucked up. I actually was kind of when he picked up the gun and pointed at the mom, I was like, oh, he's gonna kill the mom. All right, this is gonna be fun.
Yep.
And
I
then
was also
he doesn't.
disappointed, fucked up.
Yeah. It's disappointing.
I
You know,
think
'cause like the mom, like I
we
love that
weren't
actress.
attaching her character though because she barely had a character.
Yeah, I couldn't care. I could care less. Like if she survived or didn't survive, whatever, you know, like I th there was a one point also where I thought she could have died, and then
Right.
you know, she didn't. And then I thought he died, you know,
Yeah,
and I was
I don't
like,
know how he
and
survived
then
that, but he did.
I know, like, didn't he have like 20 bullet holes in him or something at that particular?
Couple, you can still run around after you've been shot.
I think,
No problem.
yeah, like he wasn't even limping, you know,
Yeah.
like there was no like
Yeah,
sign that
you
he was
couldn't
even
swing a
shot.
guitar like that if you'd been shot. That's a little crazy. Like, but I don't know. That's one of those things because you always hear those stories about like when your kid's in danger, you do these like superhuman feats because of adrenaline and just it's crazy.
I
But I
don't
don't
know.
know.
Maybe there's something else. There's a holy, you know, thing, you know, helping
Yeah,
him
I mean, he
too.
was slightly possessed too, so maybe he had some of that demon strength.
That's true. He was sort of possessed too, wasn't he?
Right? He managed, for, like, because even at the end of the movie, when he got out of the fire with Zoe, he's like, you know, they were doing the whole, they focus on him, or doing the whole, I am hearing voices, something is possessing me, something is taking control of me. And then he walks over and unburies all the suitcases, and it ends.
Yeah.
Right. So like he still had some sort of possession in him, some sort of, but he seemed to have a lot of good willpower against it, rather, you know, than the other dude. But yeah, that
Maybe,
was the part
but what you
they
like.
cut the movie off right there, and I was like, oh, but he just found all this luggage, all the luggage with all the children in it.
Yeah, maybe they were thinking sequel, you know, possibly. I
Well,
don't
no, because but the way they said it, they said the way they set up that character, the killer, in my opinion. Is they're talking about him at the police station. They said that he attacked somebody, you know, and then spent like 20 years in a mental hospital, right? And then he gets out and he kills the kid on the swing, you know, and dumps that kid. And then, you know, he's continuing this, but you think that, you know, he had this giant lull, but you have to think about, like, when he got in trouble when he was 9, that means he was already killing kids when he was like 9. That's kind of how I took that. Like, he had been killing kids, and then up until, like, you know, he got let out of the state hospital, and then he started it up again.
So my big question is, do you think when they remember there was a point where he was ringing the doorbell and he was trying to come in and everything, and he kept telling them, like, this is my parent, you know, my family home. I need to come in. Do you think that would have helped?
No, like, I don't know. Well, the whole reason he wanted to go home is so that he could play the guitar loud, because that's what he said when he knocked. He's like, I have to come home. They won't let me play it loud.
Oh, that's right. Holy cow. I forgot about that line.
Yeah, that was
because the cop came and stopped him and was like, because at first I was like, I'm not going to lie. I thought that was like a shaved head Ethan Embry. And I was like, did Ethan Embry Ethan shave Suppley? His What or no? Ethan Embry, that was his name. Well, no, I get that because like Ethan Suplee is big, you know. He's actually got a new movie coming out, and he's fucking built like a motherfucker.
Yeah, Ethan Suplee got in shape.
Yeah,
that's the one I like.
Yeah, that is.
That is a hunk of a man.
Yeah, too bad he's a Scientologist.
That's a bummer.
Oh, that broke my heart.
I know. He believes that there's aliens.
But that's how they indoctrinate people into their cult, is people look like him. And I'm just like, yes, sir.
I mean, I always remember him as the dude who couldn't see the sailboat and fucking Mallrats. So.
Yeah, always. Yeah. It'll always be Frankie Stakino.
For me, it'll always be
true. Boy Meets World. For me.
Yeah, I grew up watching him in Boy Meets World.
With his dad being Vader.
Dad was Vader. That's one of my favorite episodes of that show. It's Vader time.
Yeah. No, my favorite line in that whole thing was when he's like, "It's Vader time." And he says that to Feeny, and Feeny looks
like, Leslie.
Yeah, was it Leslie? I thought it was. Yeah, it was Leslie. That was right. And he's like,
his real name is Leslie White. Don't get me started on wrestling. That's a whole different podcast, man.
Oh my goodness! So I can't believe they actually used his real name and everything. That's funny.
Oh yeah.
But it's not his real last name, I'm guessing, you know.
No, Stakino. No, his real last name is White. But
yeah.
Even on Boy Meets World, he was Leslie Stakino.
Yeah, Frankie White doesn't sound very like.
It's not tough.
This doesn't have much of a name that rolls off the tongue like that, you know. But yeah, no, I grew up watching Boy Meets World too. So, you know, Ethan Suplee, but Ethan Embry, like I said, was the guy from Empire Records and Dutch and a ton of different movies.
I really like him too.
Yeah,
but the killer was him with a shaved head.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know why, but I thought like when the killer guy shows up and I hadn't seen him in a while, you know, I was just like, wait, did he shave his head too? And you know, and everything, because I just wasn't like paying attention, and then I was like, oh, that's that guy. Yeah, okay. You know,
really weird. I met that guy, the guy that played the killer. His name's Pruitt. I cannot remember his last name. I should have known that coming on the podcast, but I didn't.
Like Taylor or something?
Something like that. But he worked with a friend of mine on a couple of movies, and then he came through town and stayed with that friend. And I just happened to go out for drinks with that friend that night, and I like hung out with the guy for a while. We talked. He's really super nice. He's really talented. I've seen him in a bunch of movies that I really like. Because he's in the Keanu Reeves Constantine, which isn't great, but I still love. And then he did this movie, I want to say it was called Control, with Ray Liotta, that was a fucking great movie, in my opinion. It was all serial killers and like weird, like a motel murders. It was a really good movie, though.
Nice. Well, I'll have to check that out. You said it's called Control?
I think it's called Control, yeah.
And it's basically like
a bunch of strangers in a motel, and there's somebody killing all the strangers, and they're trying to figure out what's going on.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Yeah. So
everybody.
So I guess we're up to the end of the thing. Carrick, please tell us a little bit more about your podcast that you've got.
I've got a bunch of stuff that I do, but Warlord Radio Podcast is probably my main show. We interview anybody that it's myself and Craig Meinhardt from a local band called Silver Tongue Devil. He's also the director of Into Dust, which is that movie I was talking about that will be premiering at Texas Frightmare. But we basically, it started off as we were just interviewing local metalheads to kind of promote, you know, people that don't get a lot of promotion. And then it morphed into like, we've here in the last year, we've turned it into a TV show, basically. And we get anybody that interests us from like around the world. Like we talked to the guys from the Bangalore Open Air Festival in India. We've talked to a bunch of film directors, a bunch of soundtrack engineers, of course, metal bands, but like all kinds of wild performers. We even had like a live fire dance. We went out with a Bigfoot hunting troupe one time. That was pretty wild.
Did you find them?
We did not find
them. I'm right here.
I brought her
home. Oh, you got a Bigfoot?
I got me a Bigfoot.
He's the hide and seek champion of the world. So there you go.
But so I do that. And then I'm also part of another podcast called Radio Free Denton. That's kind of more, it's like skits and stuff. It's almost set up like Golden Age Radio.
Oh, cool.
And I do some acting on that show, and that's a lot of fun. And then I'm part of a band called Diesel Beast, and I'm also part of another band called Gerg. So if you Google me, I'm out there. Follow me on my stuff.
All right. How can people follow you? Like, what's your handles on your Instagram?
My handle on everything is just because there nobody else really has my name, so it's never taken. But it's always Carrick, C-A-R-R-E-K. Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, and that's on everything except for Instagram. And on Instagram, on Instagram?
Thrift Store Rasputin.
That's my name on Instagram.
So I have to ask this real quick. Did your parents name you that, or is that a stage name?
That is my actual name. That is the one that's on my birth certificate. It's it's Celtic.
Oh.
My dad is like Irish Viking. He's first generation American. He grew up in Kansas, but his parents are like from the old country. And then my mom is from Karachi, Pakistan. So I have an odd upbringing. They gave me a weird name that nobody can pronounce, especially if they've been drinking. But yeah, Carrick Coleman is my actual name. And I've been asked that question a bunch of times.
I'm sure you have. Like, even I was thinking about it, and I was like, I bet this dude gets asked that like every day. But
it's fine. It's an interesting name. My kid has a totally normal human name, so I didn't perpetuate the cycle. But yeah, Carrick is my real name.
I'm sure when you get random callers or whatever asking, you know, they don't say it the right way.
I have to explain to grown-ups every day that my name is not Carrot with a T at the end, and it's Carrick with a K at the end.
How do they mess that up?
They call me Carrot all the time, like the vegetable carrot.
Right, but how do they do that? Like, if
there's Carrot and Carrot sound very similar. Yeah. He also gets Eric.
I get Eric and Derek and Garrett a lot. But never Carrick. Nobody ever guesses Carrick, right?
Yeah, because not that many people have heard Carrick, so they automatically hear Carrick and they're Eric or Carrot.
Derek? But it's a Celtic name that means King of the Fae. So there's that.
King of the Sarah what?
Sarah just means princess.
So. It means King of the Fae. Yeah, Fae like fairy folk.
I forgot what Jonathan is. It's something, you know.
It's biblical, I believe.
Well, it's funny because I don't know if it's necessarily biblical. I know John is, you know, but I don't really remember Jonathan in the Bible, you know, like J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. And so the worst I'll get is people misspelling my name.
Yeah.
There's two ways to misspell it. That's fun. It's J-O-H-N-A-T-H-A-N. Or my favorite one is J-O-H-N-A-T-H-O-N.
I used to spell your name wrong when I first met you because I never had to write Jonathan out a lot. And the only Jonathan I knew was with a J-O-T-H or whatever. So it took me forever to remember it's just J-O-N.
Wait, J-O-T-H? So Jonathan?
J-O-N-T-H.
You were saying probably J-O-H-N.
But I was a little thrown off at first with the spelling, but I've acclimated.
It's okay.
People misspell my name too because they're like, I have to say Sarah with an H.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I have to go
with an A.
Not a T. It's not Adkins.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that because there are both those ways to spell Atkins, you know, and
not like the diet.
Well, there you go. That's how you say it. I had a friend who's, you know, I don't think you're related to her, but I had a girl who I knew who was had the last name Atkins as well.
And yeah. Well, considering it's my ex-husband's last name, I'm definitely not related.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Yeah. No, my maiden name is Cantrell.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well,
everybody knows where to find you all.
Well, they should. They should come find me. That's Sarah true. Atkins. It also says Sarah Cantrell. I also go by Virginia Church. And I also have a new profile with the Subu Sidewatch, where I post lots of selfies, lots of promos for bands and music, lots of funny memes. And that's kind of my new social media empire right now is my Subu Sidewatch.
Are you able to like post again? Because you were having that problem earlier.
I had to close my Virginia Church kind of Facebook because I got zucked. Because they do not like you promoting your OnlyFans apparently on Facebook.
Well, what I was saying is because like you posted a lot or whatever, and then all of a sudden they stopped you from posting.
So apparently when you start a new page, you have a daily posting limit. So when I started my page, I was posting hundreds of memes and Facebook said, stop, you need to wait 24 hours where you could post another single meme, lady. So, so there's... If you want a good laugh or you want to see my pretty face, please join a Facebook page, Subu Sidewatch, for some really cool content.
And if you want to laugh and see a way less pretty face, you can find me at Kara Coleman and Diesel Beast Band and WarlordRadioPodcast.com.
There you go. So everybody knows, this is going to be the, we're going to take a break for...
Right.
August, and then we'll be back in September with I guess we're doing four more episodes,
you know. Yeah, we're just gonna take a little hiatus, a little break, you know, like a month or so, skip an episode, but then we will be right back with more horror movies to review for you.
Four or five, I'm not sure exactly how many we have left, but I'm really excited. I think it'll be five because I think this is the fifth episode. We're doing 10. So we'll do September through December. And so we'll be back with more stuff. I believe the next one we'll be watching is Before I Wake. So if you guys want to watch that before this podcast comes out, it's on Netflix. And I guess I'll say this before we do it, but I just want to let you know, I know you haven't seen it yet, right? You know,
I haven't seen it, I don't believe, because I haven't really Googled it yet to see what it is. So, right. But I don't remember the name. So yeah. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. I actually interviewed the writer of it, and he's like the writer who worked with, Mike Flanagan, because Mike Flanagan directed this. The guy did, Dr. Sleep and a bunch of other stuff. He used to, Oculus was their big thing that they worked on
together. Oculus, I was telling you about Oculus. It was a sleeper because it was a really good horror movie, but it was a WWE Studios movie and it had nothing to do with wrestling, but I found that really surprising.
I mean, just the same as why wrestling is on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Right? Like it's just satellite and cable just baffles my mind these days.
Right. Like, so it's Before I Wake, is that what you said?
Before I Wake, yeah.
All right, so next I can't wait. Before I Wake, and we're gonna take about a month off after this episode before we come back with four to five more episodes for you.
Yep, exactly. So thank you guys for listening, hope you guys enjoyed it. This was a fun one.
Right. I know we got off topic a little bit, but it was fun chatting with everybody.
We always do. You know, it's just you and me talking. It's just right. It goes off topic, so it's okay.
Thank you guys for having me out. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, and thank you, Carrick, for coming on. I did not say Carrot. I said I'll make sure that people know. You know.
Please do not go on his Facebook and say Carrot over and over and over again.
Oh, I will dox you into the last century, man.
Oh man. Oh, I was just thinking that you might have had the worst nickname ever of Carrot Coleslaw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been called that before.
Hey, it's okay.
Have you?
I used to be called Sarah Can't Spell, so
that's,
it's okay.
That's just mean.
That's terrible. That's right? A terrible thing.
Right.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And tune in on in August for no wait, September for our next episode.
Tune in next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.